I've titled today's message, In the Eye of the Storm. In the Eye of the Storm. Do you like storms? Do you enjoy storms? Come on. Well, in sunny Southern California, storms are somewhat rare. I mean, when a storm comes, it's an event. When they come with vengeance sometimes. Sometimes inches of rain fall all at once and we're flooded and there's disasters. And if you live in the mountains like we do, sometimes we have several feet of snow in just a few hours. Sometimes you wake up to 4 feet of snow. Do you like that? But the nice thing about California is the storms pass very quickly. The sun breaks out within a few days, sometimes within a few hours. The sun is back out, snow is melting, and we're back to beautiful, sunny weather, like today. I mean, you don't know, unless you've lived somewhere else, what it's like at the end of November to have 55 to 60 degree warm, sunny weather. It's beautiful. It's a godsend. I used to live in Oregon where storms were an everyday experience. When winter hits, and that's usually September, it's like one continuous storm day in, day out, gray skies. Amazingly, some people like that kind of weather. They like stormy weather. They like the rain. Some people even go to the Oregon coast for what's called storm watching. They advertise this, where you sit in your nice warm room and you watch the waves crashing on the ocean and the wind beating against your windows, and they enjoy that sort of thing. Me, I enjoy being outside. I moved to California to escape the storms. That's why I live here. Some are storm watchers. Some are even storm chasers. But I prefer sunshine and fair weather. Amen? Amen. But on a spiritual level, we know that we can't always avoid storms. When I say storms, I mean trials, tribulations, hardships. Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Not you might. There's no way to escape it. You will have tribulation. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow stated this truth in a poem called The Rainy Day. You'll recognize the last line of this poem. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is common, fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Into each life some rain must fall. So we mustn't be surprised when storms come. They're always brewing somewhere just over the horizon, and they strike at the most unexpected times. Before we get too serious, I want to do something fun. We haven't done anything fun for a while. We're going to create a storm here in the room, using sound effects. So what I'm going to do is, in a moment, I'm going to have you follow me. We're going to start by rubbing hands, which is kind of just the beginning of rain, then a few little raindrops, and it'll get more intense as we go. And then pat the legs, like that, and follow with stomping your feet. So that's when it's really coming in, all right? Now, to do this effectively, we can't giggle, we can't laugh. We can just look around and listen. We want to make the sound effect of a storm. So you're going to follow my lead. I'm going to sit in that chair so that I can, I don't know if I can pound my feet on that or not, but so we'll build up gradually to an intense storm, and then we'll let off. That sound fun? Yeah, we'll get the sense that a storm has come through. Whew, here we go. Give yourselves a big hand. You did good. You did good. Don't you wish they all passed that quickly? They just come and they go. Well, let's see, where are we here? Pretend storms are kind of fun, right? But real storms can be frightening. I think most of us will agree that the year 2020 has been a stormy year. And I'm not talking about the weather. The coronavirus has settled in like a non-ending storm. We think it's going to pass, and the news just tells us it's getting worse. And it doesn't seem to be passing too quickly. And the same could be said with the presidential election. It just seems to go on and on. And people are right down the middle. I mean, the count is so close that half the population of America loves this president. Half despise him. And it's not like it's an easy give or take. This is a polarizing thing that's crippled us politically. And then it's led to riots and violence. It just seems like the storm just keeps pounding us. And the word is that the economy may suffer as a result. It seems like it's been good for us. Houses, markets been up, and most of us still have jobs, but we don't know what the ripple effects of this pandemic is. So it's difficult to see much sunshine in all of this. Not only has it been a stormy year for the nation, but it's been a stormy year for many of us as individuals. Just this morning we heard of one of our families losing their home this past week, and a couple different ones suffering from cancer. Many physical ailments and sicknesses, and we've had more funerals this year than we've had in the last 10. And it hasn't been COVID-related. It's just this has been a year of storms. And many of you have shed some tears this year. It's a year you'll remember. Yes, as the poem says, into each life a little rain must fall. Unfortunately, the weather forecast is not good at this point. It looks like the storms may continue for a while. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we face these storms? Do we let them beat us down and do we get depressed? Or do we somehow keep above the storms? Today I want to share a little bit of encouragement on how to face storms. We're going to look at Matthew 14, the passage we just read in our scripture reading. The disciples faced a literal storm, an extreme storm, but Jesus met them in the storm. And I think there's some principles for us. So I've titled the message, In the Eye of the Storm. And I could say that we are in the eye of a storm. And we got to see Jesus in the storm. I want us to learn how to face our storms victoriously. I want us to be reassured that Christ will meet us in our storms. He hasn't deserted us. He hasn't left us. Now, in your bulletin, not only do you have the scriptures, but you have an outline if you're one that likes to follow and take notes. I've got six important truths that come from this text. First thing I want you to notice, very important. Ready? Jesus allows our storms. Write that down. Jesus allows our storms. Sometimes we assume that our storms and our trials come into our lives as some form of discipline or punishment. And sometimes that's true. I can think of the example of Jonah. He was told to go one way. He went another way. As he went the other way, God sent a storm. And that boat was going down. These were sailors. And they said, what are we going to do? And finally he says, throw me overboard. Right into the storm, right into the sea. And he was tossed overboard. And remember what happened though? God met him in the storm. God provided a way of escape. And by the way, the storm ceased when Jonah was released from that ship. But that's not always the cause of storms. Don't get the wrong idea. God doesn't always bring storms as a way of punishing us or disciplining us. Sometimes God allows storms not for our correction, but for our perfection. For the perfecting of our faith, to build character, to test our faith. Remember that passage where Abraham, God says that God tested him in the trial of possibly losing his son. And God met him in that situation. So sometimes God tests us. And that's what happened today. They're in a storm. The disciples are in this storm. We know the story. But listen now. Christ sent them into that storm. Christ sent them into that storm. He knew that storm was there and coming. Listen to verse 22. This is Matthew 14, 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. You know the story. He's been on the feeding the 5,000. He's sending the people away. He sends the disciples on ahead of him. It's probably a nice evening, boat ride across the lake. But he sent them knowing a storm was coming. The disciples experienced a storm as a result, listen now, of obeying Christ. It wasn't because they were disobeying Christ like Jonah was. He was in the storm. They were in the storm because they were obeying what Jesus said to do. He said to get in the boat and go, and they went in the boat. And what did they find? A storm on the way. Many Christians believe that obedience to God will assure them of smooth sailing in life. And that's simply not true. That's a wrong gospel to say, well, you accept Jesus, you're going to be prospered, and you're going to be happy, and everything's going to come together. It doesn't always happen that way. These guys were believing Christ, obeying Christ, and they got stuck in a scary, scary storm. They were in the center of God's will, and at the same time, they were in the eye of the storm. They're in the center of God's will and in the eye of a storm. But they were safer in the storm, in God's will, than they would have been on land, out of God's will. You're safer wherever God puts you. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will, no matter where it takes you. For the disciples, obedience to Christ led to a storm. So Jesus allows our storms. He allows your storms. He allows things to come into your life, troubles and tribulations. He says, consider all joy when you experience these things, knowing that the testing of your faith produces maturity, right? James chapter 1. So number one, Jesus allows our storms, but truth number two is Jesus prays for us in our storm. Did you know Jesus is praying for you? He's called the intercessor. Are you experiencing a storm? Be assured that Jesus is concerned and Jesus is praying for you. The Bible tells us that Jesus intercedes on our behalf before the Father. And in this story, we see Jesus praying while the disciples are suffering. Look at the next verse, verse 23. After he'd sent the crowds away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone, but the boat was already long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. What was Jesus doing up on that mountain? Praying. Praying to his heavenly Father. Was Jesus aware that there was a storm? Of course. He was probably experiencing it too. It's not that far away. After all, he walked down the hill and walked on the water. It wasn't that far. He's in the storm himself. He's aware. Was he aware that they were struggling? Suffering? Of course. He's always aware of everything, isn't he? Does anything escape his notice? A sparrow falls. Doesn't he notice every sparrow that falls? Does he notice you and your needs? A little sparrow? In Mark's account of the same story, it says Jesus saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. That's Mark 6:48. He was fully aware of their situation. Does Jesus know when you're in a storm? When you're in a trial, does he know your situation? Last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Habakkuk, remember? Why, God, you've left me. You've deserted me. These disciples may have been saying the same thing. Why are we in this storm? Have you forgotten us? Nothing escapes his watchful eye. You can be assured that Jesus is watching you, that Jesus is praying for you, that Jesus wants to see you pass the test, and he wants to see your faith perfected. That's why he allows storms. Truth number three, Jesus comes to us in our storms. So he allows our storms, he prays for us in our storms, and number three, he comes to us in our storms. Now that's assuring, but notice he didn't come immediately. He delayed. He let them struggle. He let them pass the test. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. walking on the sea. Now, the fourth watch, this would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's the darkest part of the night just before dawn. Disciples, by this time, had been rowing maybe 6 hours. Since evening into the middle of the night, rowing in the storm, struggling. How do you suppose the disciples felt? Well, they probably felt deserted. They probably felt alone. They probably thought, this is the end. We're exhausted. We're exasperated. We're going down. This little ship with these disciples can't handle the storm. Yet we know that Christ was fully aware and was watching, and he allowed them to struggle. He allowed them to struggle. He allows us to struggle sometimes. He doesn't always come. He doesn't always jump in immediately to save us. We wish he would. Call and he answers. Sometimes you call and there's a delay before he answers. He allows us to reach the point of helplessness sometimes. And when all hope was gone, it says he came to them. Isn't that a great verse? In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. They couldn't go to him. They were stuck out in the lake, in the Sea of Galilee. He came to them. And Jesus will come to you too. We need to be watching for him in the storm. We need to be looking for him in our storms. Was Jesus late? God is never late. His timing's always best. It was late on their clock, but not late on his clock. When God seems to delay, he may be saying, keep on, keeping on. Hang in there. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on hoping. Keep on rowing. But keep moving forward. Jesus will come to you, and he'll meet you in the storm. Now, how did he come? You know the story. In the way they least expected. They probably hoped he'd come in a little boat or a bigger boat to rescue them. But he came walking on the sea. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. What a shock that must have been. We've heard the story so many times. It's lost its wonder. But you see by the results, the reaction, that they were frightened. People don't just walk on water. They were doubly frightened. First, they were afraid for the storm. Then they were afraid by the form of a man walking towards them. And they thought, well, maybe it's a ghost or a spirit. Jesus knew their fears and immediately called out to them. So Jesus calms our storm is the fourth lesson. Jesus calms our storms. Jesus seeks to comfort us. And he calms our fears while in the storm. Picking up the story in verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. They already had fear for the storm. Now they had this figure, this form. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Maybe he said it more bold. Maybe he said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Shouted out to them over the storm. Is he calming the storm here? No, he's calming them. He didn't immediately calm the storm. He calmed them. He says, be careful. Be quiet. Be calm. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm reminded of a song, a Christian song by Scott Crepain, titled, Sometimes He Calms the Storm. I think you've heard this song, but listen to the chorus. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. That may be where you're at. You wish he would just, you know, like a magic wand, make all these troubles go away. Sometimes he allows the troubles to continue, and he brings calm to us in that situation. He doesn't always calm the storm. He doesn't always remove the trial, but he sometimes calms us and gives us peace to endure the trial. This may be God's message for you from this passage right there. That may be what God wants to say. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the future. Do not be afraid of the virus. Do not be afraid of that diagnosis, that lab report. It is I. Take courage. Do not be afraid. You know, Jesus is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus is with us in the storm, in the dark valley. Let's consider our fifth truth from this story. Jesus challenges us in the storm. Remember, some storms are sent to test us, to challenge us. Look who steps up to the challenge, Peter. He said, don't be afraid, I'm not afraid. What's he say? Verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. That's fantastic. Walk by faith. Talk about walking by faith. If you walked on water and you command me to do it, I can walk on water. The very thing he feared the most was the water, the waves, drowning. That's what they were all afraid. And here they were. Peter faced his fears, stepped out of the boat, and began walking across the water of Jesus. He got out of his comfort zone. Sometimes our trials make us get out of our comfort zone and try things and do things we would never have done before. He got out of his security. He literally began walking by faith. Maybe that's God's reason for allowing so many trials in our lives, so we learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 29, he said to him, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? He walked on the water toward Jesus. It's amazing what we can accomplish when we're focused on Christ. When we're walking toward Jesus, walking with Jesus. Don't walk away from Jesus. Walk toward Jesus. But when our focus shifts to our circumstances and our eyes get off of Jesus and we start looking at the waves and the wind and our circumstances, then we begin to what? Sink. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. What was Peter focusing on here? It says, seeing the wind. Can you see the wind? Can't see the wind. It's invisible. Can you see this virus? He can't see it. You don't know who's got it, but you're afraid of it. You know, we're afraid of all kinds of invisible things and visible things. He saw the waves, his circumstances, like sea billows rolling over him. When we get our eyes off Christ, we will sink with fear and anxiety. When we get our eyes off Christ, that's why it's so important that we gather and be together. We need to be encouraged. We need to sing and lift up our eyes. When we get our eyes off Christ, we will sink with fear and anxiety. So the truth here is stop focusing on our circumstances and start focusing on Christ. Start looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Stop being so nearsighted, worried about every little thing, and start being farsighted and say, God's got a bigger picture. God's in control. Peter looked at Jesus, he refocused his gaze, and he said, Lord, save me. I guess that's where we're at right now, aren't we? We're sinking. The storm's getting us. Lord, save us. Lift us up. Did Jesus let him sink? Of course not. And he won't let you sink either. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I like that. He stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Jesus, stretch out your hand, take hold of us. Lift us up out of this miry clay. He reaches out to us. He initiates and lifts us. I love this painting of Jesus being rescued by Peter. When we attempt to walk with God, he will catch us when we fall. He'll be there. Start walking with God. Start walking towards God, and he'll catch you. When we exercise our faith, when we walk by faith, we can be sure that he'll help us when we start doubting, because we're walking toward him. Let's see how the story ends. Our sixth and final point, Jesus confirms us in the storms. It's in the storms when we hear his voice, when we know who he is, when we recognize his greatness. It's when he rescues us, that's when we notice him. That's when we're confirmed in our faith. Jesus joined them in their boat. He calmed the storm, and immediately their faith was lifted. Listen to verse 32. And when they got in the boat, they meaning Jesus and Peter, the wind stopped. Why didn't he do that from the beginning? Why did he do that from the mountaintop? Stop the wind and let him just roll on by and get him. My plans don't match up with God's plans. Our ways are not his ways. He finally stops the wind, and those who were in the boat worshiped him. Worshiped him. Jesus is God. Only God can be worshiped. You shall worship the Lord your God, and only worship him, right? Jesus is God. He says, certainly you are God's son. When Jesus intervenes, we cannot help but worship him. We see how big he is, how great he is. When we truly see his power, it should cause us to drop to our knees and worship too. The more we exercise our faith, the more our faith is going to grow. The more we'll understand who Jesus is when we walk by faith. Our faith will be confirmed and affirmed and strengthened, and we'll say with the disciples, Jesus is really God, and he's with us in this trial. So as we face the storms of life, and we will face them, not optional, let me remind us of these six truths. Remind yourself of these six truths. Number one, Jesus allows your storms. He allows them. Number two, Jesus prays for us in our storms. You're not alone in this thing. God is praying for you. Jesus is. He's your interceder, intercessor. Number three, Jesus comes to us in our storms. He doesn't leave us to drown. He comes to us to rescue. May not be in our timing, but it's on his timing. Number four, Jesus calms us in our storms. Peace. Don't be afraid. Jesus challenges us in our storms. It's when we're in these storms, when we're in these trials, that we learn to walk by faith. Step up and walk with Christ. And Jesus confirms us through our storms. Let's close with a wonderful promise from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah 43. Beautiful, beautiful passage. Verses 2 and 3. When, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When, not if, you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, many of us are walking through deep waters, through fiery trials. This year has been a stormy, troubling year. And Lord, we claim this promise, I will be with you. Thank you that that is repeated throughout Scripture, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We pray that you'd be with us through what lies ahead. And like Peter, help us to rise above our storms. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.